On today's show, the Cleveland Cavaliers tuned up the Utah Jazz. We'll talk all about that win for Cleveland on today's show.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, the music you heard on the way in is from our friends at Astro. Check them out on Apple Music or Spotify. I'm Chris Manning. I cover the Cavs and the NBA for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Fear the Sword. That man over there is Evan Damerill. He is the proprietor of Write Down Euclid. Today's show, all about Cavs Jazz. Cleveland wins this game 122-99. This was Donovan Mitchell's first game against his former team. He came out blistering 11 points very quickly in this game. Finishes with 23. Darius Garland had 17 and 8. Jaren Allen had 20. Evan Mobley and Isaac Okoro also get into double figures. So did Jetty Osmond. So did Caris LeVert. And old friend of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Lauri Markkanen, actually led all scorers with 24 points. Jordan Clarkson had 23. No Colin Sexton in this one as he was out with a hamstring issue. But Evan, from a Cavs perspective, they came out from the opening tip, from the very beginning of this game, and just kind of dominated. There was no lethargic meandering from what we saw, you know, on Saturday. This is, to me, the best performance they've had in some time.
Yeah, J.B. Bickerstaff was asked about this post game, and I said it, I think you said it, I think everyone kind of agrees with it, that this was probably one of the more complete games the Cavs have played wire-to-wire this season. Like, you could tell that they were hitting a different gear, a different level in this one. Maybe they were just so committed to making sure that they didn't lose against the Utah Jazz for Donovan Mitchell's sake. And Mitchell kind of touched on it, saying like it kind of crystallized after the two games against the Knicks when they didn't play very well at times. But they really just wanted to drive home, like just a lot of the outside noise and shut it out and just go out there and play their style ball. But yeah, this was their, I'd say, most complete game. I think it's up there with the win over Dallas on the road the other day, just when, circumstantially speaking, the Cavs are not a good road team compared to how they are at home, and like that was a very complete win for them as well. But this was a very impressive game for Cleveland all across the board. And speaking of numbers, zero Colin Sexton or Lauri Markkanen tribute videos. So
yeah, we'll talk about that. I think in segment three, just some of the little news and notes from this game. But I mean, here's when I kind of felt like I knew for sure the Cavs were going to win this. When I just was like, okay, like there's no way Utah's going to mount to come back and get, maybe even if they get hot from three or whatever. Second half starts. Cavs, you know, they win the first half pretty convincingly. They're up by 18, I believe, at the half. Utah goes on a 5-0 run right away out of the gate in the second half. They come out with energy. They come out with some juice. J.B. Bickerstaff calls a timeout. They snuffed out whatever was going to come from Utah. Whatever kind of comeback was gonna matter from Utah right there. It was done. Like, they just said, okay, no, this isn't happening. We're not dealing with this. We're not going to have this. And, like, everything to me just felt so purposeful, right? Like, I thought this was Darius Garland, and we'll talk about a lot in segment two. I thought this was his best performance as a scorer in some time. Obviously, he's had some good assists, but he limited the turnovers tonight on top of, well, didn't really limit the turnovers, still at six, but, like, had eight assists, yes, which he's been doing, but also I think was very purposeful with the ball in his hands. Donovan Mitchell was incredibly controlled and you know, has 23, has his point total, his 23 in basically 23 minutes, like a point per minute. Mm-hmm. He was on the floor. You know, like I thought Jared Allen was forceful and is strong going to the rim and getting dunks and scoring on quick post ups as we've seen him in some time. Like, this was just like Jared Allen like wrecking people. When he plays like this, he's really, it's like you foul him or you get dunked on. It's like one of the two things when Allen has that bounce in him and looked rested. Like, everything about this performance was just effortful and dominant and hounding. And when the Cavs look like this, even though, you know, Lamar Stevens, obviously, no Dean Wade, you'd like to have those pieces, those options. I'm sure J.B. Bickerstaff would like that so he could maybe run a little bit deeper of a rotation. But when the team plays like this, this is the best version of the Cavs in a lot of ways to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I think this is We're inching closer to more of what the complete form of what this Cavs team could be, and also there's still potential for growth, like you said. Like there's no Lamar Stevens, there's no Dean Wade, there's no Ricky Rubio as well. I think that's going to be a key piece once he's back and fully integrated into the rotation, and also just how this team looks in general after the trade deadline. Like they still have needs on the perimeter, but they're able to kind of mitigate some of that tonight against Utah, just with Caris LeVert playing very well, J.J. Osman playing very well, Donovan Mitchell effused praise on those two especially, and Isaac Okoro too, who drew the start, and by and far, other than Osman, was probably one of the top performers outside of like the core nucleus of key players like Allen, Garland, Mitchell, etc., and so on. So this is just a very good game, like wire to wire. I think like it's good to see like the Cavs just kind of go out, have a feel good win like this. They're still the best home team in the NBA overall record-wise, so like they definitely backed it up, and they lived up to the hashtag and slogan they go by. They let them know tonight, to say the least.
Look at you just coming through corporate Evan over here, just making it known.
I got Mountain Dew on the back behind me, so heck yeah, bro.
Okay, so Evan, last thing before we go into break, and we'll come back and do awards. I think when I think about Donovan, because we're going to talk about Darius Garland a lot in segment two, so I want to hit on Mitchell for a second. When Donovan Mitchell is playing like this and with the season he's having, and he is so purposeful, and in his postgame comments, what really struck me was just like him dealing with some of this, getting through some of this, dealing with a lot of this. I just find where he is at as a player and what he is kind of becoming as the face of this team and just sort of like evolving out of this, about what he was in Utah. And I think we should talk about this more like on the show, particularly with the Mark Spears interview, which we're not going to get to today, but I'll link in the show notes. People should go read. He is just, I think, hitting a really, really high level. And like, this is one of those games where like, even though he only plays 23 minutes and like Garland kind of is the guy that stands out to me in a lot of ways, Mitchell had like some insane finishes in this game. He had some insane shot making in this game. Like he is night in and night out when he is, you know, there's not like an injury issue or like the Knicks game where he just seemed to get a little in his head or whatever. He's just playing at just an absurd level. And like I'm gonna try not to get numb to just how well I think Donovan Mitchell's playing this season.
He's the opposite of what this forecasted weather is supposed to be at the end of this weekend. He's not a polar grenade. He is red hot on a night-to-night basis. And I think, yeah, we talk about this a lot. Like, there is an alternate timeline where the Cavs have Colin Sexton and Lauri Markkanen and Ochai Agbaji, as well as all those picks they traded for Mitchell still within their organization. But Mitchell's just wired so differently that, like, he builds a lot of momentum for this Cavs team where like he's just so wired to guide this team to victory on a nightly basis. And even when the Cavs are they lose, like it still feels like some of these losses were still obtainable wins for Cleveland just because Donovan Mitchell won't quit and he won't give up and he still tries to kill the opposition in front of him. And I think it does have like a bit of a trickle-down effect where Mitchell is playing with joy. He's having fun again out there. He said it's not hard to be kind, but like he has like this infectious personality where I think people just gravitate to him on this organization and on this team. And he leads by example and he leads with his voice. He leads in so many different ways for this Cavs squad that like it's just having a positive impact 1 through 17, including the two-way guys on this team, where everyone's kind of playing meaningful basketball when they share the floor with Donovan Mitchell. And it's kind of fun to watch where it's not so heliocentric around one guy, where yeah, sure, it's Donovan Mitchell leading the charge, but he has a ton of horses running alongside him at the end of the day.
Not to be that guy, but it is sick. It's technically 16 because they have an open roster spot.
Well,
on that note,
see you later, guys.
No, put back
Chris,
on
Chris. You got the ad read. Have fun.
All right, we'll be right back after this. We're going to come back, do Game Awards MVP stat of the night, play the night. Evan is miraculously back, and he's going to tell us about our first sponsor.
Yeah, it's because I pulled the headphone cable and almost ripped my laptop off my desk. But today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the U.S., U.K., Canada, and it's coming soon to Australia. You can book a spacious SUV or minivan for the family road trip. You can get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, holiday, or just a regular episode of Locked On Cavs for Jake Stevens. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and you just need to get from A to B. And you can even test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see how it fits in your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. It's that easy. But keep this in mind. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive today at Turo.com.
All right, we're back here in the Lockdown Cast podcast. Chris Manning, Evan Damrell here with you. Let's move on to our awards, Evan. I'm going to go MVP first. I'm going to go Darius Garland. Look, Darius Garland in this game was so purposeful. I thought he manipulated space in a really, really high in a high-end way. I thought everything he did to attack what Utah looked at him, he wasn't like over trying to over penetrate and over dribble and do too much. He was taking what was there. A couple obviously moments where he maybe gets a little lost in the sauce and somewhat, but this was as controlled and as purposeful and it's the best version of Garland I think we've seen in a little bit. So like as much as this was Mitchell's night in a lot of ways, and Mitchell, you know, was the last guy we heard from in the media room and all of that, to me this was a Darius Garland game in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it really was a Darius Garland game. Like, I think Donovan Mitchell definitely overshadowed him with the narrative and noise surrounding this team heading into this game, just with, you know, them playing and hosting the Jazz. And I think Garland just really was a connective tissue on offense where he just really kept things moving. He kept Jared Allen involved. Like, you saw the Cavs made a concerted effort all throughout the first half, especially just when they really blew the lead wide open. Like, they were force feeding Jared Allen and Evan Mobley more often than not down low, and they were kind of hunting Lauri Markkanen at times just because Markkanen isn't a very good rim protector, and I think Cavs fans know that pretty well at this point. So yeah, Garland was sensational in this one. I think that's a great MVP pick, and that was initially my pick, but I'm gonna pivot and give some flowers to Isaac Okoro. He played really, really well tonight. I think you saw him kind of use a little bit of his strength and athleticism a lot to get at the free throw line. He got there four times. He's 3 of 4 from the line. He was, of course, 1 of 4 from three-point range, so I'm sure people kind of thumb their nose at that, but it's the fact that he wasn't hesitant taking those threes that's super encouraging to me, and the fact that he was just kind of consistent. He kind of added a little bit of a wrinkle to Cleveland offensively where he was really useful in fast break scenarios. He saw some of his playmaking chops. Like, he had 4 assists. He had a really nice dime to Jetty Osmond at one point that was just like a really good pass on Okoro's part. Like, Isaac was just really involved in the offensive flow for Cleveland, and he was kind of what I was hoping, and I think you were hoping as well, heading into the season, where he's a bit of that connective tissue where he's playing really, really good defense on guys like Jordan Clarkson or even Mike Conley at times too, just to kind of stymie their offensive impact. And then on offense, he's still able to provide you something. And again, folks, you don't need him to score 20 points a night, but if it's like 8 to possibly even like 10.5 points a night from Isaac Okoro on average, like, that's a pretty successful thing. And I think that's a lot easier looking at just like the general scope of this roster when addressing the small forward need. Like, yeah, you still need depth, but maybe you have more of a viable answer as you're starting three for the time being, as you kind of can keep workshopping this idea in the background so you're not so pressed to maybe go find a more immediate answer.
I have an Isaac Okoro rant I will probably do on our Wednesday show.
I thought you were going to save an Isaac Okoro crush. I'm like, we know. So if it's a Locked On Cavs drinking game, take a shot.
Let's go to play of the night. Evan, my play of the night is an Isaac Okoro play. This is, they get, the team gets a stop. Evan Mobley gets a rebound. There's an outlet pass. Okoro just absolutely crushes a dunk on the other end of the floor. Look, this is just like the Cavs played with some pace in this game, and like weirdly, Okoro was one of the guys that will push the Cavs ahead in terms of pace and really make them work and really make them move. He is just like this weirdo kind of guy in terms of what he does in that sense. So that play was just like his crescendo of this game in a lot of ways, and just a really good stop. Mobley has that instinct to push the ball. Just really good stuff from the Cavs. You pick up the pace a little bit and get reap the benefits of that. So that's my play. What's your play?
Well, let me ask you real quick. Do you think just how like fast the Pacers play and how the Mavericks played with a little bit more pace and purpose, maybe like gave the Cavs like, okay, this is a Jazz team that likes to get out and run, and also they're kind of uncomfortable in terms of defending that as well. Like, do you think that kind of played a part in like maybe the Cavs just kind of learning a little bit from who they're facing the last few games?
I think it's possible, and I think the coaching staff there is smart enough to know that, like, look, like, they're going to have to get better dealing with this. There's just like no way around the fact that they are going to have to get better at dealing with space and dealing with all of that. Like, that is just the reality of the fact that, like, hey, like, they're going to have to get better at dealing with with that kind of tempo. Like, teams are going to know that and scout that. And in the playoffs, if they come up against a team that plays with that pace, maybe there's a team that even in that setting pushes the Cavs in that way. And that's kind of an interesting, I think, little wrinkle to at least consider in that way. But let's go
my,
to...
My play of the night pick real quick, folks, is just this filthy Jetty Osmond crossover on Jordan Clarkson. It's not going to play either way. It was just a filthy crossover from Jetty Osmond. It's just like a little bit of like some control chaos that Jetty plays with. And he is inching closer and closer to the top five in Cavaliers franchise history for three-pointers made, which is a wild stat to think about for Jetty.
Jetty Osmond, what an interesting fellow. All right, let's go to stat of the night. Cavs shot 57.7% from three is mine. This is an absurd number, obviously. Like, it is just like a bonkers number. I don't like know how you even
on a fairly low volume too.
Yeah, but it's just like one of the things that JB when I asked him the other night, how did you know you didn't have it? How did you know that this wasn't going to be a good night for you? Bickerstaff says, look at what we shot from three,
and especially Donovan and Darius only hitting 2 of 16, I believe, off the top of my head.
That was not a problem tonight. Cavs had fresh legs. That really mattered in this one.
It definitely mattered. And my stat of the night pick is the Cavs had 38 bench points to Utah's 27. Granted, a lot of that did come from Jetty Osmond just kind of getting nuclear hot at times off the bench for Cleveland. But like that's pretty noteworthy for sure. Like with Caris LeVert having 13, Kevin Love only had 3 points, but he hit a pretty big three-pointer, had 10 big rebounds as well. That's something Donovan Mitchell kind of highlighted too. Like, the Cavs have been struggling to find like offensive consistency from their bench unit, and then you're seeing them lean more heavily on their starters in turn. Like, this is kind of the interesting subtext of this game is Donovan Mitchell hardly played in this game, as Chris talked about. Like, he only played 23 minutes, so he pretty much scored a point per minute, like Chris said. So just having the bench kind of show up when you need them to, so you don't have to lean so heavily on your starters, especially when there's a bit of a quiet concern with Donovan Mitchell playing so much, it's nice. And I think it's not going to happen every night, but when it does happen, it is definitely worth shouting out and paying attention to.
Yeah, it sets them up nicely, I think, for Wednesday. Obviously, being at home is helpful. All of that stuff is really helpful if you're Cleveland, but I think, you know, them being in this spot now where they can, like, these guys didn't play heavy minutes. Like, all of their players played pretty reasonable minutes, and they can maybe navigate what's to come going forward. I think that's a good thing for Cleveland. Okay, one more break. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the latest to Ricky Rubio, the late Lauri Markkanen, and just what he's been for the Jazz, and some of this trade stuff, just considering this is the first time Cleveland has played Utah since that deal went down.
Did you say the late Lauri Markkanen? Did he pass away?
No, I said just like how he's grown of late.
Oh, how he's grown of late. You might have cut out for me then, because I was just
I just am, you know, it's late and we're podcasting. But I want to first tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for betting info, stats, and news this season and all seasons, frankly. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball to everything. They have it at BetOnline. For example, the Cavs are plus 2,000 to win the NBA title this season and plus 850 to win the Eastern Conference. In the NBA draft world, Victor Wembanyama, ever heard of him, is minus 1,000 to be the first overall pick next June. And anyone else in that class, Evan, is listed at a whopping +825. BetOnline will have a game folks, lines up. That's crazy.
You can throw money on me to being drafted first overall at those odds right now.
You literally could do that. BetOnline will have game lines up for any upcoming Cavs game as well, including Cavs Bucks on Wednesday and Cavs Raptors on Friday. If you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They are always the fastest and easiest way to get all of your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about all the trends in action. That's BetOnline. That's where the game starts. All right, last segment on Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris Manning. That is Evan Damerl. So, Evan, tell us the latest about what JB Bickers have had to say about one Ricky Rubio.
So earlier in the day, during Cavs shoot around, I noticed Rubio had on a practice jersey. He was wearing the bench jerseys. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of noteworthy because it's like the second time you've seen him wear one. But like, he was doing free throws or whatever. So Bickerstaff was asked about it pre-game by from Tom Withers, just like, where is he at in his prognosis and the recovery? Because Bickerstaff noted the other day that Cleveland's home for the next six games. They're going to have practice opportunities, opportunities just to get them in with the team, him in with the team doctors and everything else. So just like, what's the latest? And JV kind of revealed his hand a little bit, saying that Ricky hasn't done any five-on-five work with the actual main club yet. He's done most of his work with the Cleveland Charge, who are now in Vegas for the G League Showcase Cup. So Rubio's just mostly done one-on-one work, and maybe he's done a few random things as well. But I think it's just going to be a gradual process of ramping up his production and comfort. And I think if the Charge were in town or if they were available, I think there'd be more opportunities present, at least for the Cavs to get Ruby to ramp up things a little bit. I can say for sure, like, I know that the Charge will be back probably about a week from when this episode posts, and they will be home. So maybe you see Rubio practice with the Charge over the next 2 days they have before they ramp up the second half of their season. So we'll see what happens, but it's an encouraging sign, at least, to see him wearing the practice jersey, to see him be a participant in that capacity instead of him kind of sitting from the sidelines, being a bit of a coach and being in the ear of Mitchell, Garland, etc. And now, instead of playing like one-on-one with Isaiah Mobley and Dylan Windler, he probably is getting closer to playing maybe like three-on-three with a player or two players and a coach, or a player and two coaches, and then eventually full contact five-on-five stuff. But then Bickerstaff also just knows the fact that like they are in the midst of the season. They're not trying to hurt anyone, so like they don't really have five-on-five opportunities like in the middle of the season. It's more like film study and just like walkthrough stuff, especially for like a pregame situation.
Yeah, and like, look, we have seen Rubio as a player in recent days be someone who,
like, cryptically tweeted an hourglass the other day.
Yeah, and like on top of that, like, we have seen Ricky Rubio working. If you're at games and all of that stuff, you see him working out more and more and more, right? Like, you see him working out with people, working out with coaches, putting in some of that work. And like it is clear to some degree that like he is on his way. Like, he is. It is part of where Ricky Rubio is at right now, that we know that he is getting closer and closer and closer. And what that looks like, I don't know what all of that kind of means. I'm obviously, I think, unsure about some what that is exactly going to look like, just because we're in a spot with him where it's just, it is unclear, right? Like, it is just kind of an up in the air situation for us to know, like, hey, like, this is what's up with Rubio. This is what he's actually feeling. Like, he hasn't spoken with the media, and that's fine. But like, we haven't heard it from him. Just what he said at media day, what he has tweeted, and what JB has said, and we'll see where this goes. But he obviously is a big deal for them, and when he comes back, that's going to be a big deal. Evan, let's move on to Lauri Markkanen. Not like, you know, he leads this game in scoring. I've watched some Jazz games this year to keep up with him, keep up with Sexton. I just came away like really, really impressed with him in this game as an offensive player. Like, just he is better than he was last year. I think that's like abundantly clear that he's improved on last year even.
I think 100% he's better than last year, just like in terms of what his production is. And I think we talked about this, golly, so long ago when Martin Rickman was on the show and Mitchell was first traded to the Cavs, that Lauri Markkanen kind of utilized this opportunity in Cleveland just after kind of some downtime in Chicago after dealing with injuries and just like some overwhelming public, just like negativity around him, just like kind of cleanse his image a little bit, kind of change the perception around him a little bit that he is a pretty functional player. Maybe he's not the next Dirk Nowitzki as some people thought he would be, but he is a different type of player where he is still a 7-footer that can shoot, but he's also not a spot-up shooter. He can do a lot of different things. And I think the Cavs helped him build a lot of that confidence last season. And then JB Bickerstaff noted it. Like, his time with the Finnish national team over the summer, like, really just skyrocketed things for Markkanen. Like, he carried a lot of that momentum into training camp with the Jazz. And I think now that he is more or less the best player on Utah's roster and like the de facto number one option, like, he has the freedom and luxury to kind of grow and expand his game a little bit. Like, we watched him tonight against Cleveland where he would bring the ball up in transition or would initiate the offense at times. And like, he was getting a lot of clean looks from on the perimeter, and like, he was getting a lot of good looks down low. Like, there was an opportunity early in the game where he really tried to dunk it on Jared Allen, and like, thankfully nothing really violent came of it. But like, you saw Markkanen play like a little bit of an edge that like sometimes you didn't see with his time in Cleveland. And I think now it's just, instead of him being like that fourth or fifth option sometimes in the offense, like he was with the Cavs, they were just kind of just lost in general under Jim Boylan and the Bulls. Like, Markkanen has found himself. He's found his confidence. And I think now it's just you're starting to see him live up to that potential that people were so enticed with when he was coming out of Arizona. And now, hey, the Jazz got a possible all-star on their hands. And I think that's a good place to be if you're Utah.
He is such an interesting piece in the sense that, like, I just didn't, like, know he... I thought he was, like, better and more effective last year than I would have imagined, and I think he's improved even on, like, what I kind of thought he would be in Utah. Like, he's just hit this level that I just didn't really and totally believe he had, if I'm being honest about it. So, really, really good on him. Mm-hmm. It's fun to see him do this stuff. It is fun to see how he's grown. It's fun to see how Utah has really empowered him. And, like, that's, like... One of the things I really like about what Utah has become and like what they've done is just like how much they've empowered a guy like Markkanen, but also Jordan Clarkson. You know, like Walker Kessler is kind of their heir apparent to Rudy Gobert, and like he's starting. And like I'm sure there's ways they've empowered Sexton that we haven't maybe fully seen yet. That's interesting. Evan, let's just end on this because it is like the only part of this night that I found weird. So they tweeted them. The Cavs social account tweeted the Sexton video. They tweeted the Markkanen video. They tweeted the Ochai Agbaji video, which, like, salute to my guy Ochai for getting a video.
I saw the Sexton one. I'm just like, okay, maybe they're just doing this because he's not playing tonight. I didn't see the Markkanen one and the Agbaji one. And
yeah, there was, like, a little thread.
The box. I was just like, dude, they made an Agbaji video. That's cool.
Yeah. And, like, we saw Ochai, like, talking to people. From the Cavs organization, like we were walking around the arena after the game, like mm-hmm. you know, like he was around and all that stuff. So like, it's not like he's like there's like people he knows there, obviously.
Yeah.
I just found it really interesting to. it's just like it was almost like they did, like Markkanen got a really big pop, and like I know Sexton didn't play, but Sexton just like basically did not get like acknowledged, and that was just like kind of a weird. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, he wasn't acknowledged until I asked JV Bickerstaff about him post-game. That's the only time Colin Sexton was acknowledged during this entire process, which...
I mean, like, and like Jimmy Lager, our friend took a picture of him and yeah. Garland. Like, he was around yeah. in that way. It's just like...
Yeah, he was around, but, like, he wasn't the forefront of the conversation. This night was more so about Donovan Mitchell playing the Jazz, and I think... It would be different if Sexton was playing tonight, for sure. I think Markkanen just being the de facto best player for the Jazz and just kind of coming in red hot just from just starting the season red hot is probably a more compelling narrative right now, too. But, yeah, I did think it was just a little bit interesting that there was no, like, thank you or acknowledgement or things like that because, I don't know, it's just, I don't know. It's definitely interesting to think about, but also it's just indicative. Like, the Cavs... Love their time with Colin Sexton. They love their time with Lauri Markkanen. Although it was brief, I'm sure they enjoy their time with Ochai Agbaji during the pre-draft process and in summer league. But at the end of the day, Cleveland moved forward. They made a move to make themselves one of the beasts of the East after getting Donovan Mitchell. And clearly, it's working out in spades for them. I think they can acknowledge where they were, but they don't need to make it like a distraction in the center of attention because there was a basketball game to be played. And again, I think the focus more than anything was this is Donovan Mitchell playing his former team for the first time in his career. So
yeah, I think that's right. I like when guys get a chance to get their due. So that is the part of me where I'm just like I would have liked to seen like
friend,
him
friend
get
of
it.
The program, Danny Cunningham, hard disagreed.
Danny's a hater. Danny also, like, I sat down next to him in the media thing, and I changed my computer background to a picture of Lionel Messi and the World Cup trophy, and he goes, oh, we get it. You like soccer. Danny's just was being a hater, honestly, in full hater mode.
He had bad pizza for dinner tonight, and he also missed the Matt National Anthem, the beginning of it, so maybe that just threw him for a loop, but... My highlight of the night was a Cavs fan who said her favorite memory was holding the American flag, and that's just so beautiful.
Okay. On that note, we're going to get out of here. Thanks again for making Lockdown Cavs your first listen every day. Shouts to David Locke as well, who we had a chance to catch up with at this game. And
that was actually my favorite moment of the game, was meeting David face-to-face. So,
yeah, very good handshaker, David Locke. For your next listen, please check out all the great Cleveland shows. You have Lockdown Browns, Lockdown Guardians, all of those. Please go support them. This episode, as always, was produced by Jake Stevens, who I hear is on a flight back from Qatar. after he lived his best life at the World Cup. Good for Jake, but we're glad to have him back stateside. For your next lesson, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. It is the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. That is available on the Odyssey app and YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Chris Manning. That's Evan Damrell, everyone. Be well. Talk to you tomorrow ahead of Cavs Bucks.